people in the church, do you remember Christmases of long ago? Do you remember when Christmas was still about Christmas? I've heard of the old Christmas church or the old Christmas church, and I'm quite often and quite certain that I've not experienced an old-time Christmas. I remember hearing my dad and his brothers and sisters talk about Christmas when they were children. And can I tell you, Christmas was a whole lot different back then than it is now. The presents they received were in a stocking, or what we call a sock. Y'all remember this? I'm seeing some of the older people shaking their heads. Guys, did y'all hear me? Their total Christmas presents were in a sock. A sock. It was usually a small toy or a piece of fruit or some nuts. That's all. No more. I remember hearing my dad tell of his favorite Christmas as a child. He and his two brothers, for Christmas, got a goat. Y'all go crazy if all you got was a goat for Christmas. You would be calling the police wanting to charge us with child cruelty if all we got, y'all, was a goat for Christmas. Now, let me ask, how has Christmas gotten to what it is today from what it was so many years ago? My older church members who are here, do you remember those Christmases that I just described? Do y'all remember those Christmases? Have you sat down, you yourselves, and wondered over the years, what happened and how have we gotten to where we are now? Well, let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I think and how Christmas has gotten to where it is. I believe Christmas changed when pleasing our children became more important than pleasing Jesus. Now listen, if y'all hadn't heard me, y'all pay attention to this message, please. Don't go to sleep. Now, I'm going to say that again. I believe that everything changed when pleasing our children became more important than pleasing Jesus. When giving extravagant gifts to our children became more important than getting our children to church and teaching them about the greatest gift of all. I'm going to go a little further. I believe if we looked real hard at the last 100 years, we could see a change that would and should scare us tremendously. Now listen to me. Everybody paying attention? Children are more excited about Santa coming than they are Jesus coming. Children are more excited about Santa Claus coming than they are Jesus the Messiah coming. Listen to me, church. Our children are more excited about Santa than Jesus. How can we change this? Church, to be honest, I'm not sure that we can. One way we can start is heading back in the right direction, is tell the whole story and make sure our children hear and understand what the true and real meaning of Christmas is. You see, church, we all need to remember the whole story. Not just part of the story, but the whole story. We read just a part of the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke. But that's just the end of the story. This morning, let's remember all of the story. You see, I want you to understand this at the very front of the message. When we look at our Bibles, we can see the child of Christmas in every book. All throughout the Bible, we see the child of Christmas. Well, Brother Kyle, what in the world are you talking about here? As we look at the book of Genesis, we see the seed of the woman in Jesus. In Exodus, we see the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, we see Jesus as the high priest. In Numbers, we see Jesus as the cloud of fire. In Deuteronomy, we see Jesus the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, we see Jesus as the captain of our salvation. In Judges, we see Jesus as the judge and the lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, we see Jesus as our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, we see Jesus, the prophet of the Lord. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, we see Jesus as the reigning king. In the book of Azariah, we see Jesus as the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, we see Jesus as the rebuilder of the walls. In Esther, we see Jesus as the type or the figure of the faithful Mordecai. In the book of Job, we see Jesus as the day spring from on high. In the book of Psalms, we see Jesus, the Christmas child, as the Lord who is our shepherd. In the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, we see Jesus as the wisdom of God. In the book of Song of Solomon, we see Jesus as the lover of the bridegroom. In the book of Isaiah that was written 700 years before Christ walked on this earth, we see Jesus as the suffering servant. In the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, we see Jesus 600 years before he stepped foot on this earth as the weeping prophet. In the book of Ezekiel, 560 years written before Jesus stepped foot on this earth, we see Jesus as the Son of Man. Daniel, 560 years before Jesus, we see Jesus as the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Hosea, 720 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the bridegroom. Joel, the prophet Joel, 770 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the baptizer of the holy. In the book of Amos, 700 years before Jesus stepped foot on this earth, we see Jesus as the burden bearer. Obadiah, 550 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the mighty Savior. In the book of Jonah, 720 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the forgiving God. In the book of Micah, 650 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the messenger with the beautiful feet. That's beautiful. In the book of Nahum, 620 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the avenger of God's elect. In the book of Habakkuk, not 550 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the great evangelist crying for revival. Zephaniah, 565 years, we see Jesus as the restorer of the remnant. In the book of Haggai, 490 years before Jesus, we see Jesus as the cleansing fountain. Zechariah, 480 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the pierced son. In the book of Malachi, 370 years before Jesus came, we see Jesus as the soon coming Son of Righteousness. Amen? Jesus is the Son of God. The child of Christmas is all throughout our Bibles. Not just in the book of Matthew, not just in the book of Luke, not just in the book of John. Jesus is all throughout our Bible. Now, as we look at the last book in the Old Testament, we see Malachi. We see Malachi and we see Jesus giving us a great promise. You see in the last chapter of Malachi either a promise of greatness or a promise of a curse coming. But as you shut and you close the Old Testament, you have a gap. You have a period that's called, what we learn in our Wednesday night class, the 400 years of silence. What's another name for it, class? Intertestamental period. 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But God wasn't silent. God wasn't totally silent. God was at work paving the way for His Son to come. As we close the Old Testament, we see the Assyrians and the Persians in power. During the 400 years of silence or the intertestamental period, we see the Greeks become the world power, and then the Romans become the world power. As we open up our New Testament, we see the Romans came in to great power and they declared Pax Romana, which means keep the peace. This peace brought Roman roads and cities and trade routes and shipping routes and shipping lanes that guaranteed peace to any who were on these roads or these routes, and the Romans guaranteed this peace. Churches, we stop right there and we look. The gospel was coming into the world at the perfect time. The gospel would spread like never before with all these new innovations that the Romans brought in. It would spread like never before and never since. The time was right, and God knew it, to send His one and only Son to this earth. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. As we open the New Testament, after the 400 years of silence, listen, pay attention, don't sleep. As we open our New Testaments, the recordings of the birth of Christ, we can see the geological records of Christ's birth. Matthew records the line of Joseph all the way back to Abraham. Luke records the line of Mary all the way back to Adam. All the way back to Adam. Church, this secures the bloodline and proves that Jesus was the Messiah, and there would never ever be another Messiah. For those Jews, for the Jews of that day, this was extremely important. It's not as important to us. Today, as we look at the genealogical records, what they had those records for was whoever could prove that they had lineage, the further back they could go, the closer they could get to the holies of holies. Listen, there's only one Jew who ever lived who has lineage records, genealogical records, that can go all the way back, and that's Jesus. The temple was destroyed. Those records are gone, all except for Jesus's. Amen? Then we have two records of the actual birth of Christ in Matthew and Luke. Matthew says this about the birth of Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The scripture says, the birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph became being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, he decided to either put her away secretly or divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph got up from the sleeping, he did as the Lord had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son. And then he named him Jesus. Just part of the Christmas story that we look at, church. Just part of the Christmas story. And then we go on. We have the records of the four Gospels written. But church, then it gets better. It gets better. As we look at the other records of Scripture, the book of Acts, we see Jesus as the ascended Lord. In the book of Romans, we see Jesus as the justifier. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we see Jesus as the last Adam. In the book of Galatians, we see Jesus as the one who sets us free. In the book of Ephesians, we see Jesus as the Christ of riches. In the book of Ephesians, we see Jesus as the God who meets our every need. Amen? In the book of Colossians, we see God in the fullness of Godhead. In the first and second Thessalonians, we see Jesus as the soon coming King. Amen. In the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, we see Jesus as the mediator between God and man. The book of Titus, we see Jesus as the blessed hope. The book of Philemon, we see Jesus as the friend closer than a brother. In the book of Hebrews, we see Jesus as the blood that washes away my sin. The book of James, we see Jesus as the great physician. In the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, we see Jesus as the great shepherd. In the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we see Jesus as the everlasting love. In the book of Jude, we see the Christmas child, Jesus, as the God of our Savior. In the book of Revelation, we see Jesus as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We just covered a lot of ground. Church, we look at Christmas time and we look at the book of Matthew and the book of Luke and we miss so much. Christmas has missed its place. We've set it aside, church. We've made things important that should be important but not more important than Jesus. Can I tell you, it bothers your pastor when the pastor asks the most basic of scriptural questions and those who've been in teaching positions in the church can't answer? Could this be part of the problem? Could it be, Lord, listen, could it be that we've saturated our minds with things of this world and we've escalated them above who we've escalated Jesus to be? Church, all this that I read is true, and it's the total story of Christmas. From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, church, we need to remember. We need to remember and tell the story. I like I said a few minutes ago, I don't know that we can ever go back to the Christmases of time, long times ago, where there's so little hustle and bustle, and there's people spending extravagant amounts of money for people who they're not even going to remember what you got them last year. Take a survey. Ask your children, what is it that I got you last year? And if they can't answer in 5 or 10 seconds, they don't know. What did you give Jesus last year? I bet you can remember. Church, we are going to reflect this morning every part of Jesus' life as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Let me ask, do you need to come down here just a few minutes and spend some time with the Child of Christmas, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Now that we've read who Jesus was in the rest of the New Testament books, as we see the totality of the Christmas child, that He's in every book, in every life, in every story, do you need to come down and spend some time with Him before we reflect and partake of the Lord's Supper? Let's all pray. Lord, we thank You for who You are, and we thank You, God, that You're not hidden in these Scriptures. You're right there before our eyes that we might be able to see You and experience You. God, You are with us in creation. God, I pray that You'd humble us. You'd help us right now to remember that we need to make Christmas about You. Lord, I don't know how exactly that it's gotten to be what it is. But Lord, help us to get back to what it needs to be. And that's all about You. In Jesus' name, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will You stand?